You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 35, verse 21, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 35, verse 21. Last time, God, for the second time, changed Jacob's name to Israel, the prince that has power with God. And then Israel's beloved wife, Rachel, died in childbirth. But as her spirit was departing her body, she called the young guy Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Israel had the presence of mind to change his name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. So Benjamin, the last of the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, was born there at Bethlehem. Quite a few thousand years later, the firstborn, the first fruits, the only begotten Son of God, would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem in the Hebrew means house of bread. But when Jesus was born, he is the bread of heaven. So Jacob, now changed to Israel, buried Rachel there in a sepulcher.
And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Ebal. 22, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it.
Now Reuben is the firstborn son of Leah. Now Israel heard this. It's going to bother him, because later on at the end of Genesis, when Israel begins to bless these 12 sons, he's going to call Reuben unstable as water.
And the sons of Jacob were 12.
Now you're going to hear the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you're any kind of a Bible scholar, you want to memorize them because they have to do with you. They developed into 12 tribes as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. So here they are.
Verse 23, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon and Levi.
Remember Simeon and Levi, they took their swords and killed all those men they just circumcised who had raped their sister Dinah?
Yeah. And Judah and Issachar and Zebulun. 24.
Now that was the six sons of Leah. She also had a daughter named Dinah, but these were the six patriarchs. Now we're going to hear the next two of Rachel.
Sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin.
Two there. Now we're going to hear the two midwives. Each of them had two sons.
25. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which are born to him at Padan-Aram.
Now, actually, Padan-Aram was where Uncle Laban was, where Israel worked so long there. It was only 11 of them were actually born there, because Benjamin was born in Bethlehem.
27, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father, to Mamre.
Now, this is such good news. You've probably been wondering, was Isaac dead when Israel returned back there? No, Isaac was still alive. So this is good news, because Jacob, name changed to Israel, got to see Rebekah and Isaac, his parents.
And to the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. 28, the days of Isaac were 104 years.
180 years old. Now, this is the son of Abraham.
And Isaac gave up the ghost and died. I was gathered unto his people.
Back to God, where Abraham was.
Being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
That is more proof that Isaac and Rebekah were alive when Jacob returned there, Israel returned there. Esau is Jacob's twin brother. Remember that?
Yes. Genesis chapter 36.
Now, what we're going to do here, this is the genealogy of Esau. And so it would take my whole radio program to read all of these, so you may read them at home, but I'm going to give you a quick understanding of it. God put it in here, but this has nothing to do with the lineage of through whom Jesus would come. We find right away it says Esau is Edom, and Edom in the Hebrew means Red Rush, rushed by the Volga, Russia. So what this chapter is, it tells you the beginning of the Russian nation. Now in verse 6, you'll find that Esau is very wealthy, and Israel is very wealthy, and they've got so much cattle they can't live there. So Esau pushes on up to Edom, which is today's Russia. Now we go down to verse 40, and we're going to find that there are 12 dukes. You hear them talked about today. They're called the Tsars of Russia. And so this would be 12 dukes of Esau, of Edom, of Russia. In other words, sort of like Israel, Jacob has the 12 patriarchs.
Verse 40. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names. Duke Timna, Duke Alva, Duke Jetha, verse 41, Duke Aholabama.
Aholabama.
Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, verse 42, Duke Kenaz, Duke Taman, Duke Mizbah, verse 43, Duke Magdiel, Duke Isian. These are the dukes of Edom, according to their habitation and the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites.
So you see, Esau is the beginning of the Russian nation. Now, God took the time to put that in there because these things are in there for those of us come to the end. Russia is going to play a big, important battle here at the very end time.
Chapter 37, verse 1.
I'm entitling this, Jesus and Joseph. Now, since these things happen to these people in the Bible, for those of you who have come to the end, God is writing this beautiful story. One of the great men of faith, Joseph, is coming up. And all we can say is Jesus and Joseph. God is writing your story. Can we say Jesus and you?
Amen.
And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old.
Enter Joseph, 17 years old. In biblical numerics, 17 is a number of victory. Now you want to get this right away as we begin this story. Joseph, this Joseph, is a type of Jesus. Jesus is the Savior, and we're going to find that God uses Joseph as a type of Savior. 17 means victory. And while it's going to look bad for him, God is still going to give him the victory. While it looked bad for Jesus because he was crucified, Jesus got the victory.
Amen.
Was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah.
Now, Joseph was much younger than the others, except for Benjamin. He was a baby now. But all the others, remember that Rachel was barren for many years. But he's out there, and he's there with Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher.
His father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report.
Now, you would probably call him a whistleblower, but there was something evil that these four boys were doing there. And we're going to find about Joseph. He's not a whistleblower. He's a man who has order. You see, all of the people that God calls to lead must have order. Anything out of order is not acceptable, decently and in order. And Joseph will have that. So whatever those other boys were doing, it says it was evil. So he felt a responsibility to tell his father because he loved his father. He wasn't a whistleblower, but they're going to call him one.
Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children.
Now, a lot of people criticize Israel for this. No, if you remember that Israel promised Laban, I'll work 7 years to marry Rachel. And he worked 7 years, and then Laban tricked him into marrying Leah. So as far as Israel was concerned, the love of his life was Rachel. And their firstborn son was Joseph. So that's very understandable. But he did love the others.
Because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors.
The definition of this in Wikipedia, Google told me, it has the glory of God, the light of God in it. Now, the coat of many colors was not just a dad giving his son something nice to wear. It was a custom then that there was a special garment that the chief or the heir of the wealth of a father would wear. And so this showed that Joseph was the chief, he was the heir, and he wore this coat. That's not going to set too well with those other brothers.
Verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him.
Did you know that when Jesus was here in the flesh, before he was crucified and arose from the dead, that his brothers hated him? Remember, he was the only begotten Son of God. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus. But then Mary and Joseph had other children. The brothers hated him. You can read the Gospels. They were very snarky to him and said, why don't you go up there? You're just trying to be seen. It was only after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that his brothers got converted and believed in him. One of those who got converted is James, his half-brother James, who wrote the book of James in the Bible. Another one of those who got converted was his brother Judah, who wrote the book of Jude in the Bible. But they hated him. Joseph, a type of Jesus, his brothers hated him.
And could not speak peaceably unto him.
Not one kind word could they say to him. It would sort of be like if the Never Trumpeters and the Socialist Progressive Communist Party, if Donald Trump, President Trump said, I've got a cure for cancer, they'd say, how dare you? That's impeachable.
Right? Yeah.
Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream.
Joseph dreamed a dream. Now, there's something about people who live beige, lackadaisical, never doing anything special. Those kind of people look down on dreamers. But you see, us dreamers make the world go round. Daniel had them and Joseph had it. And God gives people God dreams. I'm not talking about spaghetti or if you had a hard day and you kind of get rid of a frustration. There's a God dream where you know God has shown you. Don't forget, Israel's had the ladder to heaven. So the world loves to make fun of dreamers. God had a dream, and he created this earth, and he put trees and flowers and birds and bees and people in it.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, we just have a dream. I had a dream, and God took me out of bed one day with $45. I founded a school that touched thousands of lives and gave God all the glory. Oh, look out for the dreamers. I hope you're a dreamer. If you're not, you better get a dream.
Amen.
And he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more.
Now, you say, well, why in the world did he tell it to his brethren? Here's why. Because he trusted them. They were the only people around. When you have one of those God dreams where God has shown you something, I mean, maybe you've gone to heaven, he's spoken to you audibly, you just are bursting at the seams. Joseph is very young. God is going to give him the gift of interpreting dreams. But right now, this is an amazing dream. He wants to say, wow, guess what I dreamed? Don't you do that. Don't you reach over and touch somebody and say,
no,
hey,
man.
What I listen to this dream. So he didn't mean it to be braggadocious.
Verse 6, and he said unto them, hear ye, I pray ye, this dream which I have dreamed. Verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, And your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf.
Now that's a dream we're sharing.
Verse 8. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed rule over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?
Do you know what the brothers just did for him? They interpret his dream for him. Oh, that's what it means. Now don't forget this dream. It's going to come true later on in our story.
And they hated him yet the more for his dreams.
People love to hate dreamers. They think us dreamers are nothing. But everything that's good and right and beautiful, it starts with a dream. Get you some dreams and make them come true. What's that dream in you? Make that dream come true.
Amen. And for his words.
And for his words. They hated Jesus for his words because the people were saying, What a word is this?
Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said,
God says in the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter is established. God has that law, so you know that God is talking to you.
Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and moon and 11 stars made obeisance unto me.
Good Lord.
Verse 10. And he told it to his father and his brethren.
Now, obviously, they were all sitting around together. Now, you would think that Israel would say, Wow, son, you've got the same gift from God I do. God's going to bless you. Now, watch Israel's response. It looks bad, but what he's going to do is cover for Joseph because he knows the other brothers hate Joseph. He's going to pretend that it's not important.
And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down and bow thyselves down to thee?
He just interpreted that one. Oh, they're just interpreting. In their meanness and snarkiness, they're interpreting the dream for Joseph.
To the earth. Verse 11. And his brethren envied him.
They envied him because they sensed, whoo, there's something true here.
But his father observed the saying.
See, I told you, Israel knew God's hand on this son.
Verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem.
Not a good place to go. You remember that's where Simeon and Levi took their sword and killed all those men. I don't think I would go there.
Verse 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem?
Israel's a little concerned too because he thought maybe the Shechem people are going to get even.
Come, and I will send thee unto them.
I want you to go where they are. Check on them.
And he said unto him, Here am I.
Here am I. Joseph steps up to the plate and says, Here am I. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, when Lucifer rebelled and brought sin into the equation, and one-third of God's children minus the flesh and our spirit bodies followed him, sin was there. And Jesus, Joseph, a type of Jesus, said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So the Father sent the Son right into this evil, Shechem.
Verse 14, and he said to him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again.
Bring me word again. Let me know how they are doing. In the real Lord's Prayer, John 17, Jesus is praying, and he said, Father, these men that you gave me, I have given them your word. They are in the world, but they are not of the word. This is how they are. They know the word, Father. Jesus reported back. He had trained the 12 disciples well.
So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. 15, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field.
When Joseph got there, the brethren were gone. Now, we're going to find, even though it's going to look bad for Joseph in just a few minutes, we're going to find that when dreams seem to be crushed, God intervenes. We're going to watch God's hand taking care of Joseph so Joseph can fulfill his destiny. Watch God intervene now.
And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" 16, he said, "I seek my brethren."
Now, man there is not a human man. An angel in the Hebrew here is man. This is an angel. Joseph could have gotten killed out there. He's a young lad, 17 years old, wandering in the field. Some wild animal could have gotten him. God takes care of him. All of his dreams are going to seem to be crushed. But right there, God's first intervention, he's sending someone to show Joseph the way.
"Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock." 17. "And the man said, they departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan."
Dothan is the place of two wells. So obviously the brothers had gone on. They got out of Shechem and found so they would have more water for all of their herd.
"And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan." Verse 18. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him."
Brothers wanted to kill their brother. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, people are going to say, "And what are these nail prints in your hands?" And he said, "These are they which were given to me by my friends, by my brothers." When the Antichrist appears, the false Christ, the whole world will think he's God. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think he is Jesus. And the deceived part of the body of Christ will deliver brother to death. They will deliver us, the elect, who are not going to be deceived, up to death. Death's name is the devil. The devil is the Antichrist. He will pretend to be Jesus. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. But the brothers and sisters of the church that will be deceived, half a wise and five a wise and five a foolish, are going to turn us into Mr. Death himself. Don't worry. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
Amen. 19. "And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh."
There you go again. No good, beige, boring lives, just criticizing the dreamers.
Verse 20. "Come now, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what shall become of his dreams."
All his dreams are going to be crushed. We're going to see to it.
Verse 21. "And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands."
Now, Reuben is going to save his life. This will be God's second intervention. He will use Reuben. Reuben now becomes a type of Peter the apostle. You remember when Jesus was going up with the disciples to Jerusalem, and he said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed, and they shall kill him." And Peter said, "No, far be it from you, Lord, no." And when they actually did arrest Jesus, Peter took his sword and sliced the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus off. Peter said, "No, you can't die." But you see, Jesus came to die. And what's about to happen to Joseph had to be so Joseph could be used of God to save the Messianic family, so the true Savior, many years later, Jesus, could come through. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen. Amen.
"And said, let us not kill him." 22. "And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again."
Reuben had planned to go and take Joseph out of the pit when the other brothers were not looking and send him on back to his father. So Reuben does have a good heart. And remember, he's one of the heads of the tribe. So maybe if you're a Reubenite, you're okay.
Verse 23, "It came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat."
Oh my goodness, they stripped him out of his coat. One of the things they did with Jesus, they took off that seamless robe off of him and nailed him to the cross naked.
His coat of many colors that was on him, 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it.
Now that's God's intervention. Reuben, he got Reuben to save him. Now you see, Dothan means the well, the place of two wells. But this wasn't one, this was a dry one. If they would have thrown him in there, he would have drowned. That is three times God's already intervened to save this dreamer.
Amen. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes.
Oh my goodness, remember the Passover meal? Jesus took the bread and blessed it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. So they are having bread.
And looked and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels.
That travel road right there was not safe. All kind of slave traffickers and bad guys came, kind of like our southern border. The human slave traffickers and the drug traffickers come in there. So this wasn't a good place.
Carrying spicery and balm and myrrh.
Remember those camels who would come many years later with the wise men when Jesus was born at Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, bringing myrrh and frankincense.
Going to carry it down to Egypt. 26. And Judah said unto his brethren.
Now this is Judah. He's the king lion. Actually, later on through his lineage would come the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as Jesus would come of the tribe of Levi, the priesthood. And so this is Judah, the king lion. Listen to what he says.
What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?
This shows us that our brother Judah is not a murderer. You see, everybody says that Judah crucified Jesus. You know I'm pronouncing it correctly, Eudas, Judah. But Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 says no. The ones crying, crucify him, were those who say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Who are they? They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain. And Cain is a child of the devil, that old serpent who beguiled Eve in the garden. So we learn here, Judah's not a murderer, but what is he going to do? But in a way, God's using Judah also to save the life of Joseph. God's watching over his elect. If you're his elect, if you're doing his will, God's watching over you.
Verse 27. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content.
Okay, we'll agree to that. Let's just sell him for a slave.
Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites.
The Midianites are also the Ishmaelites. They call them Midianites because of a geographical location.
Merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver.
Good Lord, the price of a slave is 30 pieces of silver. The brothers had such contempt for Joseph, they didn't even barter or try to bargain. They sold him for less than the price of a slave. After that, what we call the Last Supper, a man named Judas, J-U-D-A-S, not Judah, J-U-D-A-H, went out, betrayed Jesus, and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Just think about that. The creator of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came to this sinful place and made himself a slave so you could be free.
Amen.
And they brought Joseph into Egypt.
Egypt represents sin. Any time in the Bible, Egypt is sin. Now, you say, boy, that looks bad. All those dreams are gone. Just as Jesus came and he was the only acceptable sacrifice to die for our sins, the only pure sacrifice, he had to die so you and I could be saved. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Joseph has got to get into Egypt. God's got to get him there. As bad as this seems, God is still looking out for his plan to bring Messiah through this lineage. Because Joseph's going to go to Egypt, he's got to get there, and God's going to cause him to be able to prosper there and actually save the lives of all of these brothers and father, so eventually the real Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, can come through that lineage. Amen. See, just when it looks bad, don't worry. God's got a plan.
Amen, he does.
29, and Reuben returned unto the pit. Behold, Joseph was not in the pit.
Uh-oh, Reuben was not there when they sold him. If only Reuben had been there, it would have helped Joseph. Joseph would have said, one of my brothers is going to take up for me. But Reuben was not there when Joseph needed him the most. This Peter, who loved Jesus with all his heart, at one of Jesus' most awful moments, when they were spitting on him and beating him and crowning him and mocking him, he turned and looked, and Peter denied Jesus thrice. Let's don't be too rough on Peter. Haven't you denied Jesus? Every time you keep your mouth shut and let the devil win, you're denying Jesus. And also, we know that Peter made a comeback.
And he rent his clothes, verse 30. And he returned to his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go?
This does show a good heart in Reuben. He was the firstborn. Reuben loved his father Israel. He knew this was going to break his heart. And he was the oldest, and so he should have taken care of him. So he's very grieved.
31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats.
Oh my goodness. They take the coat, they take a kill a kid, a goat. Now later on, many years later, the children of Israel will be wandering out of slavery from Egypt in the wilderness, and God will have them to go and get a goat and call the goat a scapegoat, and they will lay their hands on the scapegoat and confess their sins and spiritually transfer their sins onto the scapegoat, and the scapegoat will go off into the wilderness and die, and their sins are gone forever. Jesus was our scapegoat.
Amen. And dip the coat in the blood.
And they dip the coat in the blood. In Psalm 22, Jesus is teaching from the cross, and he looks down at his blood-covered body, and he says, I am but a worm. He was referring to the crimson worm from which they made red dye. They would take the crimson worm, and then they would make the dye and dip a garment in it, and it would come out. Jesus says, I look like I have been dipped in dye made from a crimson worm.
Verse 32, and they set the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, this have we found. Know thou whether it be thy son's coat or no?
Of course they knew it. I mean, that's a little cruel. Is this your son's coat, Dad?
33, and he knew it.
He knew it.
And said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.
As far as Israel knew, his precious son, by Rachel, his beloved wife, was dead.
Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, for he said, I will go down into the grave for my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him.
So many people will tell you that God turned his back on Jesus. But in Psalm 22, in verse 24, it says, and he did not despise the affliction of the afflicted one. But when he cried, he heard him, and he did not turn his back on him. The he that's caring and watching and not turning his back is El in the Hebrew, God the Father. Jesus says, the Father and I are one. If you've ever been so close to someone, when they weep, you weep. You better believe the Father wept for the Son. But there was no other way. God so loved you. There was only one who was fit to die for us. And so the Father sent the Son, but he wept for the Son.
Verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard.
God's intervention again. Pharaoh is high muckety muck in Egypt, very wealthy, sort of like a palace in a palace there. This is God's intervention. Joseph will become a house slave. That is so much better than if they'd put him as a slave in the field to die with beast or the hot sun. So we see, it looks like we've got crushed dreams, but we're seeing that God intervenes. When you have crushed dreams, remember, if you're loving the Lord and obeying him 24 hours a day, God will intervene. Amen. And we'll begin Amen. Right there Amen. Next Amen. Time. God bless you. Amen. At this time, I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my fellow hard worker, and my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I'm in great word about the dreams today.
Thank you, yeah. Great word. We're going to skip mystery moment for time's sake, but David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Isaiah 29.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott. That is so precious. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first, if any of you are not saved out there in internet, radio land, even in here in this place, please pray this prayer with me. If you'll mean it with all your heart, God will save you right now. Jesus is the Savior. He did finally come through that lineage. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me.
To enlarge the church of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the church of Jesus Christ.
So that it will be.
So that it will be.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 In a few moments, Scott's going to give you my telephone number, and if you were saved, I ask you to invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I speak now to anxiety. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. The disorder in your life, the disorder in your work, the disorder in your schedule. We just speak that the disorder be gone. Let there be order. Let all things be done decently and orderly. Let everything be perfectly aligned in your body, in your mind, in your activities. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. The mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anxiety, Amen. Disorder, be gone, healed in Jesus' name. Those of you who are healed, feel free to call also and tell me that. Now, you know, nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell. Go and sow these beautiful seeds and tell others so that they might come to the truth. In Revelation 19:13, we find that his name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a special shout out of thanksgiving to my twin friend Scott Merson for your beautiful Scott stuff. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, thank you, Michelle.
And until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God and hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
With you and all that we can say.
say is thank you, thank you. And all that we can say is thank you, thank you. And all that we can say is thank you.
This heart is on fire. for you. Yes, his heart is on fire for you.
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Thought of me above. above all. Thank you, Lord. You thought of me and you gave your life for me. That's how I want to be, Lord. To keep you first in my heart. Above all,
there's still neon in these paints, there's still an echo. Veins. It's the past and I've been haunted by the things I thought I wanted. I never should have wandered. I let the devil get the best of me. When oh my God's paid a debt for me. Turn this house into a home is the only thing that rattles bones. He went to hell and back to leave us his own. Now I know a ghost. Now I know a ghost. Now I know a ghost. On this plane, there's still a heavy in these chains. Why I carry them around, I don't know, cause I've been found. There was torn from top down. Now I know it.